It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus as we continue the study. Exodus chapter 26, verse 31 is where we're going to begin reading. Exodus 26, 31. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study this evening, today. And it is a great time to do it. Sometimes we get to make this program at different times, and so it's kind of confusing sometimes, but we always enjoy coming together and doing this program, and so please that you listen very carefully and very prayerfully that the Lord will touch your heart with this study that we have today. Exodus chapter 26, verse 31. Exodus 26, verse 31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it up on four pillars of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. Thou shalt hang up the veil under the tacks that thou makest bring in thither into the within the veil of the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat up on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle towards the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them. Now we're going to end the reading. I plan to get into that 27th chapter today, but let's begin with this part, and let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. It is so precious to enjoy the study of the Word of God. Please that you will guide and lead us today, that we may know your way and know your will, that we may walk each day with you. I ask that you'll touch the hearts of the lost today, that they will know that you are the Savior, that you are our Messiah, and you've come to seek and to save those that are lost. And so please today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, please come today. You must, because today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not the following day, but today. So please that you would look very carefully into your heart and seek to find if you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. If you have never had that experience, if you don't know the day that you were saved, and I'm not talking about necessarily a date or a time of the day. I am talking about an event in your life that has touched your heart, and you have never forgotten it. I can take you to the very place, the very spot where I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior, because it was a wonderful day, a wonderful experience that I had the day I met Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will look to the Lord Jesus today for salvation. Please, dear Lord, that you'll touch every heart that's listening. And please, dear Lord, that you will also touch those that are saved, that are born again, that they be very serious about your work and your service. And I hope that they learn that through this study. Now, please, guide and lead us today. Touch every heart again, dear Lord, please. I just would hate to think that anyone will end up in the lake of fire that have listened to this program, that they would choose to ignore you and reject you. Please, dear God, that that not be the case today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's a wonderful day that we have to look to the Word of God and to study. Now, we are looking today at this veil, the veil that gives us the colors, and we've looked at those colors many times, the ceiling and the curtain between and the curtain that is at the entry of the tabernacle. All those are of the same color, and we see that they are made of the veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work with cherubim shall be it be made. And it sounds just like the ceiling that we looked at, doesn't it? Very familiar to it. And so as we look at the at this veil between, it has a much different purpose. The purpose of this veil between is to keep anyone out. Keep them from going from the holy place to the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where that you literally meet God. And no man could do that. The high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement was the only day that a person could enter into that room. And then it had to be with the blood. Never could you enter into that room without the blood. If anyone would enter any other day, or any other person enter in, whether it be another day or that day, or you would enter in without the blood, all those, the penalty, the price was death, certain death, immediate death. And so when God says and God speaks his word, he means what he says. Now we have this veil. This veil is a very thick veil that is between the two. And we see that, you know, the blue, of course, begins, it stands for the heaven, Christ's home. And we find that scarlet is the sacrificial death. Purple, of course, is the royal. He is King of Kings. And white, why we have the sinless righteousness of his perfection. And then, of course, the cherubims, why they're the watchful eye. They're the guardians of God's work, and they are busy at serving God and working for God as he sees fit. And so we have these things on this veil, and this veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, it speaks of his perfection. Now keep in mind what we've talked about with the colors and what it's embroidered with, but it speaks of his perfection. It tells of his sinless, holy humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you see, this curtain, this veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies is literally a person. It is literally an individual, and that individual is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to see these wonderful pictures and these wonderful principles that's in the Word of God, because they all point to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't want you to miss any of that. But as we look at this curtain here, Jesus is perfect in all things, and that's what this veil, and again we looked at the blue and the scarlet, the purple and the white, we looked at the cherubims that are there. God will not, he cannot permit anyone into his presence that is not perfect. He is holy, so holy that no one, no man, none can come near without being perfect. If you try, you die. Without the Lord Jesus, it is impossible to gain perfection. With the Lord Jesus Christ, we can receive this opportunity of a perfect life. Now, not in this earth, not in this body, but in God's eyes, we are covered with the blood, and Jesus Christ's blood is perfect. And so when we're covered with the blood, then all of our sins are taken away. This curtain, in its perfection, in its work, represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the veil hangs between us and God. And that veil, as it hangs there, as it what it represents, it's literally saying, keep out. It's saying, no admittance. Because there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can say that would allow us to go into the presence of God the Father. It can only be done through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, the Scripture says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Now, we've got a couple of verses of Scripture here that I'd like to look up and share with you and hope that you enjoy it. First is Matthew chapter 27. We're looking back here in Exodus, but you'll find yourself many times in the New Testament because the Old Testament speaks of the Lord Jesus. And so now we look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verses 50 and 51. Now Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. In the fullness of time, you see, the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago now. But prior to that time, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, as we've talked many times already, would take two goats. One would be put to death and the blood would be caught. The other one would be left alive. And this blood that was caught would be taken into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement by the high priest only. And he would go through that veil, and he would sprinkle seven times this blood upon the mercy seat. He had to do that every year, year after year after year. And then he would come out, and he would take those bloody hands and lay them upon the head of that live goat and confess the sins of the nation of Israel. And then that goat would be led up into the hills, never to return. And you see, that's what happens to our sin the day we come by faith to Jesus Christ. And these Jews and proselytes, those that have come to the Jewish faith, those that have followed after the word, true word of God, they would come year after year and by faith know that this stood for the coming Messiah. And what the coming Messiah would do. But because it was an animal, because it was a man doing it, it could not do the complete work of salvation. But the Scripture tells us in the fullness of time, Jesus did come. And when Jesus came to the cross of Calvary and died upon that cross and rose again, something happened. The work of redemption was complete. But what happened was the day when he yielded up the ghost, the veil was torn, was rent in two from top to bottom. You see, it was a work of God. It was not a work of man. Once the work of redemption, of salvation was finished, then one could enter immediately right into the Holy of Holies because of Jesus Christ. You see, this veil represents Jesus. The veil represents the Lord Jesus. All these things, the sacrificial death, the King of Kings, the sinless righteousness, perfection, there was not one sin when he was living here on earth. There was not one sin that was committed. There was not one law that was broken. He met with every law and every responsibility he took care of completely. What a wonderful work the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, his righteousness, his place, his position of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll take this position shortly. And we know that he came from heaven and he returned back to his home, but not till after he had served as a sacrificial lamb. And that's exactly what he does as it speaks of it here. And we have a duplicate in Mark and in Luke as well, this wonderful story, the fullness of time. As this veil was rent from top to bottom, it said that man tried to put it back together again. They tried to sew it together, but in this seam where it had been torn, it could not be. It just kept tearing back apart again. It was so thick. It was so strong and so thick that they said that the tradition says that two oxen pulling each way could never have pulled this veil in two. This is what it was made of, and this was its strength. And yet God rent it from top to bottom, showing that it was a work that he did. It was a miracle that was performed. So all who are clothed with this righteousness of Christ can now come into the Holy of Holies. So you see, it starts at the altar outside, comes by the laver for the washing, into the holy place for the feeding, seeing only the light of the Lord Jesus from this lampstand and the Holy Spirit as he directs us. And now we have entered into the Holy of Holies through this veil, a veil now that has been rent in two. We have read many verses of Scripture concerning the work that was done. I think it's worthy of repeating those verses of Scripture. And you'll think, boy, Larry, we've read this before. And yes, we have, and I want to read it again. I read it many times because it's such a blessing to me, and I hope that you receive the same blessing as you listen and watch here. Hebrews chapter 9, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Over it is the cherubims, the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. But I want you to see that it speaks specifically about this room. For there was a tabernacle made with hands. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And then it speaks of the Ark of the Covenant being present there. Now, if we look on to verse 6 through 9, now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And that's just what we talked about. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now you see, what they did was a picture of something that was to come. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, some 30 years after the Lord Jesus had died and went home to heaven, was recorded probably by Paul, and tells us and makes the connection between this tabernacle we're looking at in Hebrew in Exodus and the same tabernacle now that's made mention in Hebrews being the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please, as you look at that, now let's look on to Hebrews chapter 23, chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, let's go on to chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is the Holy of Holies. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Did you hear everything that I just read? It's everything that we just talked about. You see, I'm not dreaming up this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, this person standing in the place of this veil, because Jesus took the place of that. He fulfilled the law. And the picture of the high priest going in with the blood from an animal was not sufficient for man. There had to be a perfect sacrifice, and that perfect sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross, and rose again. We serve a living God. And the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, and the book of Hebrews join in so beautifully together. And again, we have read this on a couple other occasions. And I hope that you say, Larry, are we going to go through this again? I hope that's a blessing to you so you can see and hear and get these tied in together. And so this is this inner veil, this beautiful veil that is between the places of the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. Now, again, we divide this as we read, and I'll read through. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tax, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil of the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. Thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table to the other side of the tabernacle towards the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north. Gives us very clear directions. We're not to make it, we're not to build it, but there is sure a purpose, because it ties in the Old and the New Testament beautifully. Now we have the outer veil, and thou shalt make an hanging of the door of the tent of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine twined linen wrought with needlework. Sounds just like the ceiling in the tabernacle, the holy place, the holy of holies. And it sounds just like the veil within, between the holy place and the holy of holies. But now this is the outer veil, the one that you enter in coming into to the tabernacle proper. There is another gate. The other gate is out at the courtyard. That gate leads right to the altar. But this here is a veil that allows you to enter into the fellowship and the worship of God. And thou shalt make a hanging of the door of the tent of blue and of purple. This is verse 36 of chapter 26. Scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make the hanging five pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them. And so you see this hanging in the front, and again, it was designed in such a manner, and I really can't explain it any more than that, but it was designed in such a manner that there was no light no natural light allowed to come in. It is only the light of the lampstand that was present. That's it. The light of the Lord Jesus, the glorious light. There's going to be a day that there's going to be no sun or no moon. The light will be the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, His glory. That's what's light will shine. And we have a picture of that right here. There is no other light. So we don't really know how this is laid into place, whether it was in sections and they would come and kind of weave through like a maze a little bit to get into the holy place. We're not really told. And again, it's not to be duplicated, so it's not that important, other than to know there was no natural light in the tabernacle. And so we know that was there. Now, the second veil, the second veil was the one that was placed in the temple. And it was that temple of the day. Herod's temple was the name of it at the time. And he was claimed because he had spent some money to have it fixed up. But it was known as Herod's temple. But as this veil was torn in this temple, it represented the finished work of Christ. And so not only at the cross, but also on the temple did this take place. And then we have a duplicate veil on the outside of the tabernacle, again, one that as the middle veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies allowed no one to enter in except for the one day with the blood. Also, this outer veil allowed no one in, or allowed no natural light in. And, of course, only the priests, only the ones that had come from the altar and the laver could come on into this holy place. That is the only ones that could enter in. It's a wonderful picture, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't come to God the Father unless you come through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. You can try by so many other means. You can try by your works or by your kindness, you know, that you show. It can be done so many ways, you think, but it's all null and void. It's just like, my friend, you trying to get into the Holy of Holies on another day. Or you trying to get into the Holy of Holies without the blood. Or you're trying to get into the Holy of Holies and you're not the high priest. It's all by God's plan. There's only one way, one day, one time to come into the Holy of Holies. And that's with the blood on the Day of Atonement and the high priest. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, came with the blood. He came with the blood, so you see, he has every right to go unto the Father. And because of the work of salvation that he did, that allows us the opportunity, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are in Christ, that allows us too, as well, to go unto God the Father. We can come right through the veil. Through the person, by the person, in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. What a wonderful day it is to study the precious Word of God. You know, we're to the brazen altar here in verse 27. And then we're going to look at the courtyard. And it's both are very, very interesting. And so please don't miss one of these studies. I just don't want you to miss it at all. It's so important. It's so exciting to study the Word of God and see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. See the precious saving power in His blood. And so today, there is only one decision that you need to make, and you must make it. And that is, you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Please, please come today. Each time, you know, and the coming is so simple, just an invitation. Please come into my heart and save me. Please believe and come. And again, this question, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?